Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You're listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The Trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalee, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation. Well, hello, everybody. This is Will Bluar coming to you from deep in the backwoods of Tennessee in an undisclosed location, not in an underground bunker, like some might think. But anyway, our my attempt at humor, folks. Our guest this evening is Shaha Wen, and my psychic powers tell me that our first caller is Shaha Wen. I was kind of wondering because I had planned on Skyping you. And matter of fact, I've got a 15-minute clip of your dad calling, and if you're okay with this connection of 2 hours, fine, or during the time we play your a clip of your dad speaking, we can Skype you in. But, and sorry about we had another little tiny glitch at the beginning. We will get all this stuff ironed out. Supposedly there's a setting where I indicate which first clip I want played, and it didn't kick off right away, so I kicked something, and it kicked me back. Anyway, that's life in the big city. Hope not. Well, how are you this evening, Shawin?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing just fine. I kind of fell asleep. We had a big day. You can always tell springtime when the woman around the house wants to start cleaning. And, my gosh, she wore me out. We got a lot done today. Anyway, I was asleep out there. I didn't set a little alarm clock on my cell phone or anything. So I woke up about 10 minutes before the show. And then I wasn't sure. I thought, did I tell Sean on the right time? Because I was thinking she was in...
I was watching, and I thought I was late, but I wasn't.
Now, yeah, it's what time zone are you, a mountain?
Yes, I'm on mountain time, so it's 9 o'clock here.
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking I told you 8 o'clock. But anyway, tell the folks a little bit about yourself, Shaha Wen.
Okay, my name is Shaha Wen, and... I have a nonprofit called the New Self Love Foundation. Our mission is to help people to become aware of their path that they're on and why they have difficulties and all the other good things. And, of course, as y'all can tell, I'm not very good at speaking.
That's okay. That's all right. I've got. Would you like me to go ahead and play this? I guess it's a 9-minute clip of your dad speaking to Jeffrey Mishlove. Have you ever seen that on YouTube?
Yes, I probably have.
He's speaking about the unity of man. I was just looking today at your picture, gonna get ready for the show, and his picture, and the first time I visited him, he kind of looked at me. There's two or three people there, and he has people there from all over the world. And the thing I remember most is the chow. They had somebody from one of the Scandinavian countries, and they made some stir fry. Oh my gosh, it was so good. But Rolling Thunder looked at me and he said, "You got Cherokee blood, don't you?" And I said, "Well, yes, sir. How can you tell?" He says, "By your eyebrows and." You look quite a bit like your dad, and a lot of Cherokee people seem to have the first one third of their eyebrows in toward the nose is usually pretty thick.
Right.
I've noticed, and that's one of the first things I learned about Cherokees. A lot of them have thick eyebrows. But listen, this is Rolling Thunder. John Rolling Thunder Pope was arguably the most famous medicine man of the 20th century. A lot of people call him. It's really kind of sad. Things are changing now, but because he was a mixed blood and he didn't look real Indian to some people, it's really interesting about what people think Indians look like. You know, they're the ones out west, they're going to look like us in a generation or two because it took a couple generations for the white folks to get out there. And But, you know, Indians in the East, you know, crossbred with white people a little bit earlier. I know that your dad studied in North Carolina under Amanita Sequoia, who was one of the last old Cherokee herbalists and a very well-known man. He told me stories. I guess when it wasn't unusual for a Cherokee to grow up somewhere else in Oklahoma, there were a lot of Cherokees that didn't go to the Cherokee Nation. They, because of the Civil War inside the nation, they weren't welcome. And from what I understand, he probably grew up down south of Cherokee Nation, the Creek Nation, because he did his first work, I understand, when he was 13 years up in the Kiamichi Mountains. And he told me that when he was 13 years old, you know, he was put out in the mountains with a knife to live by himself for a year. And he says that's when you start to learn, you know, pay attention about the plants and everything, because, you know, there's you know, one plant from one berries from one plant will kill you, and the other ones will heal you. And, but he was an extremely well-known person. He did a lot of speaking. The Grateful Dead were very close to him. Bob Dylan named an album after him. And it's kind of sad that, you know, some people, you know, call him a plastic shaman or whatever. But, you know, he didn't, and properly so, he did not claim to be a Cherokee medicine man. He was a Paint Clan Cherokee, and he, I understand, did a lot of his training up in the Duck River Reservation, which is north of Carlin. It's up on straddles, or it's right on the Oregon Nevada border. And but he told me, he said if he had had his druthers, he would have gone to British Columbia. But when you apprentice to be a medicine man, you know, you pledge to stay in the area that you're planted in order to serve the people. But you want to add anything before I roll this 9-minute clip, Shahaman?
No, I think you did good.
Okay, I'm sure some other things about him will come to mind. Here he is, speaking on the unity of man and nature. This is from the Thinking Aloud DVD with Jeffrey Mishlove, and I'll take both of us off mic while I'm playing it.
Columbus didn't discover America. There were people here already. A couple of my boys wouldn't put that down. They were going to school. I had to go up and have a chat with this little principal, and I made him stand on the other side of the desk, but I stood on, sat in his chair, and finally I had to stand up. And I explained to him, I've taught my children not to lie. Now you're trying to make a liar out of him. And he finally caught the message. I told him, you were working for me, I paid taxes, and so you're going to listen to me. And you're not going to teach my children to lie. And so he made an exception of my boys. But he flunked them.
Well, it seems,
got even with them.
It seems to me that the lie of the larger culture is much bigger than who discovered America. It's as if we've lost touch with something very, very fundamental that Native peoples such as yourself have kept alive.
Well, they stole most everything, and somebody asked me, what part of America is it that you, isn't there any good thing that you like about this country? I said, yes, that's that part that they stole. And it is very true. Even though they stole most everything they could get their hands on, our land, children, women, whatever, they took it, and the natural wealth. Left us very poor people, a lot of our people homeless in our own country. But the best things of all, that they had no value was our way of life. They copied our Constitution from the Iroquois Confederation. That's in the legal code books.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they didn't invent that. They had nothing like it before. But they couldn't live by it because their heart was not, and their thinking was not in that kind of a order to live by something like that. Mm-hmm. And a real freedom and a real peace, they couldn't do it. So they violated every day by their different interpretations, just like they do their own Bible and different good books. Yeah. And so, and losing these values, they also lost a great deal in how to take care of this land. I like to teach about that. That's our job. We delegate. We don't say we own the land. The grandfather Great Spirit, the one they call God, is the one that owns the land. And so that we are, though, the caretakers of this land. Nobody else can do it. But there's people that can help. And we'd like a lot of people like that that would help. If we try to take your job, we'd make a mess of it. Somebody else's job. It wouldn't be too good. Because you people have the technology, and we're all needed. All of us are needed to work together. And so there won't be any such day as next war of violence. Also that the land could bloom again. And it does in the desert where I live. And I can prove it. Right now, it looks like a jungle in the area right around my house. And it's green for 100 miles around. On every side, different deserts, real deserts. But in the area where we live, I've seen even what they call weeds. No such thing as a weed, really. I've seen them dance when there was no wind blowing to the sound of our drums and our singing. That's how powerful that is, too. And so that we have rain, and even without the rain, these plants are still green. It's amazing. I come down here sometimes, I see everything dried up sometimes in the past. And one time they was having a drought. And the water commissioners over here in Marion County wrote me a 2-page legal size type letter and invited me to come down here and get some rain that time. At some years back, it was really drying up down here. And I turned it down. I had a good laugh. You know why? They didn't say one word about what they're going to do for me or my people. So we had a good laugh, and then my people did, and I could see it laying in their yards over there. A lot of rusty old pipe. And yet they didn't say one word. We could have used that for irrigation pipe. Put it back together, we could have used it. But it's not for me to beg or to tell them. They never offered my transportation, even. They didn't say where I was going to stay or how I was going to eat. Those people didn't. Now, I know they wouldn't ask anybody else to do anything like that. When they go to their doctors, they pay. You bet they do, handsomely. I didn't ask them for no payment. I don't go begging. Nowhere. And they can't treat me like that. They want. And they want an old Indian to work for nothing. Some of those politicians are the worst. Let's put it that way. I don't want to talk too much about politicians.
Well, there was a huge thunderstorm here in the San Francisco Bay Area 2 nights ago, which is extremely rare. We never get thunder and lightning. And
some of my good friends been after me. They've been calling me up there. I got many friends throughout the area here. Besides, I like this area. But when my friends ask me for help, That's different from some politician that ain't going to do nothing to appreciate. And yes, I've been dancing as hard as I could, doing a few other things. So, it's my brother over there, that old storm god. And that's the way I got my name, for that matter. I used to scream like a little eagle's what they told me, even when I was a baby and doctor. Run right out in a storm. Yeah, I love it. And that lightning flash, there's a lot of power in it, I'll tell you. And I know some Indians, I don't like to talk too much about what I can do myself. I tell people I don't do nothing. That's a great spirit's power. But I do have a say-so sometimes, and I can request, you know, what. And if people deserve it, why, they can have it. We like to help, too, in our way of doing things. And I like to, it's beautiful music when that thunder rolls. You can catch some of the water right after the storm. Catch it in pots, pans, any way you can, and drink it. You don't need no nothing to get high with. You don't need anything else. You feel that energy go all the way through you. I do that sometimes and have my feathers out there making the thunder roll and bringing the lightning down, and then stand right there in the middle of it. I'd look around behind me. Here would be a lot of my family and my people there too, looking up at the show, you know. No, we don't need no heavy artillery, nothing like that. We've got 80,000 more times energy, one bolt of lightning, than there was in the first atomic bomb what they dropped on Japan. 80,000 times more.
So you can certainly tell you come by this honestly. And before you start up, I just want to say this man had a profound effect on me or anybody else that ever went to be taught by him. I visited with him twice by myself and one with another man. And it was, you know, about a 250-mile drive over there. And I'll tell you what, he was an amazing person. Anyway, tell me a little bit more about yourself, and I've got some other stories in the back of my head to tell you that he told.
All right, well, thank you. So we go back to my nonprofit, the New Self Love Foundation. It was placed in my heart to help teach people how to understand their pathway. So I start off by teaching them circle medicine. And what circle medicine means is that you have to be aware of all the patterns that are here with us. We have many patterns. In fact, sometime in the near future, I'm writing a book called Signpost. Do You Know Your Signpost? And I'll be touching on all the patterns so that people can become aware of the patterns within their own pathway. Because it's very important. Circle medicine starts with that because we are in a circle and people don't understand that. That's why the birds make their nest in a circle. That's why the world is in the circle. That's why the planets travel in a circle. That's why the winds travel in a cycle pattern around the world. And until people start becoming aware of that, how are they going to be able to walk a good path if they're not aware? Now, energy plays a big part in this, and tonight I'll touch a little bit on energy patterns because it's very important to understand that energy is all around us. We are made up of energy. That is what will truly heal us when we're sick. But you have to know what type of energy is in your body, how it is affecting your body, and how it works. And that's what I show people, because a lot of people do not understand that. We have male and female energy that run through our body, and that is what controls our left and right side of our brain. So when you start learning how your brain functions, your mental, I call it your mental plane, then you become aware of how to walk your path. Now,
fascinating. You know, I just ran across a quote. Edgar Casey said that sound will be the medicine of the future.
And that is correct, because everything has a pattern, and when you start learning the patterns, you can see how it all connects, and you flow with the pattern instead of against the pattern. And what's going on with the world today is there's a lot of us that is not flowing with the pattern. We are going against it because we don't like change. And it's all about changes. We were never to be put where we stand still. We were always supposed to move, just like everything else here on the planet.
Fascinating.
But in the years way before we were born, people started settling down and staying in one place. But there was a reason why the natives moved from one camp to the next. And it wasn't just for food, but it was the cycles of the patterns that had them moving too.
Fascinating. And so you do some good out there, and understand, I don't want you to get ahead of yourself, but I know this works. You know, originally, I used to play music for a living and was a music major in college, and back 600-700 years ago, during the time, I guess it was called Gregorian chant, was some of the earliest vocal music, and it was actually illegal. I think the Vatican made it illegal for anyone to play music at a beat faster than a human heart, and they would actually palpate their own pulses. They apparently were aware that there was sound that was good for you and sound that was bad. And I understand scientific studies have been done on different kinds of music, and some of it makes plants thrive and some of it kills it.
That is correct. It's a very fine line, because with the energy patterns of the universe, that energy that flows through us is the same energy that flows through the universe, and it does have a male energy and a female energy. So that is why what you're talking about happens. If the vibration of the frequency is not the same vibration as the plant life, it would cause it to die.
Huh.
Okay, and so the same thing with color. Color, what people don't understand is the sound travels on the color frequency. Okay, and the color frequency follows the vibration frequency of the sound. So it all travels in a circle. And you can take different colors. Like if you're really, really sick, if you surrounded yourself with the color green and you focused on where you were sick at, and just really focused and saw yourself like touching the part of your body on the inside that was sick, and fixing it, and then sending the thought of green around it, you would heal yourself. There's many things that energy frequencies, thought patterns, all of that plays a big part in the circle of life that I try to help people become aware of. Now, one of the things that Roland Thunder had touched on was, and you touched on too, was the plant life. Every plant has a purpose. Okay, there are plants that will heal you and there are plants that will kill you. But what people do not realize is that where the healing plant is also the plant that will right beside it that will kill you. So if you don't truly know, if the spirits have not showed you how to do medicine like that, don't try to play around with it because you'll get hurt.
That's really true. You know, I'm kind of known for and proud of the fact that I've got a good memory. I look out at a lot of different things, and one of the things that I was told by an Orthodox rabbi, he told me, so we were talking about Genesis one day and about creation, and he said, "Blue Water," he says, "did you know?" And about that time, I knew, oh, my gosh, he's getting ready to teach me something that he knows I have absolutely no clue about. But they have records. See, the Old Testament is a kind of a iffy translation of a stolen Torah scroll. It was stolen by Crusader Knights. And they know a lot more, especially after they came back from Babylon. There were certain things that were encoded into the Torah that were very, some things were arcane, and some things were very slight differences in the way a word or concept was understood. But one of the things he says the very first act that Creator did to kick off creation was he shone a green light all around what was to be the universe. That was the very first color.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yep, it is interesting. And when a lot of people report when they have dreams about seeing angels or hearing the voice of God, for instance, my son, when he was 5 years old, told me that he had a visitation, and he said the very last color that he saw was kind of a golden or orange or golden glow, and for quite a few years after that, he just remembered seeing that color. And so colors are extremely important. There are ways to heal, you know, using color. And the other thing that I learned from my friend Robert Three Eagles is that frequency, everything has its own frequency. Every element have their own frequency and usually in hertz. And, our government now knows how to communicate with its submarine, you know, using extremely low frequency use it right through the earth, and the spectrum is unbelievable. I'm also a ham radio operator, and the higher the frequency, the more you can reach out, and that's the reason why high frequencies are restricted. And I was drilling for a while with the Tennessee State Guard, and they had an exercise this past I want to say about 9-10 months ago, FEMA came in and they simulated their communication center being flooded out on the Mississippi River, and so they were required to come up the hill, and they used the Tennessee State Guard, not National Guard, the State Guard, and these guys provide their own uniforms and equipment at no pay. And they were able to, using certain high-frequency radio signals, they were able to get all their traffic through just using ham radio, a certain method that transforms it from radio into email. And an ex-Green Beret captain I was speaking with was saying, he said, this is a real lost art, he says, because when he was over in Afghanistan, there was an entire trailer loads of this kind of equipment that none of our soldiers knew how to use because they just knew how to use a telephone. And He says, one of these days, he says, they're going to need these kind of radios, and they're not going to have them. And thank heavens, there's all over the country, there's a couple of different disaster ham radio organizations. One of them is coordinated by the military, and one is not. But it's amazing, it's also amazing what people don't know about frequency, and they don't know about color and sound, and it's something that's just brushed off by the medical establishment.
And that is correct. And one of the biggest things that that my goal is to help people to learn how to balance. And the only way that you can balance is to learn about the frequencies and to learn how everything fits together, because it's like a puzzle. And what people don't realize is your thoughts are the highest vibrational thoughts that in the universal energy pattern. So when you're thinking, you have to remember that what you have in your head, the thoughts that you have in your head, are just as real as what you hold in your hand. Because your
thoughts...
Well,
they're not only real, but since we're now beginning to understand the nature of matter... A couple of years ago, it was discovered that the vast majority of matter is called dark matter, and it electromagnetic fields surround everything. Everything has an electromagnetic field, and so then you begin to get the picture. Oh, well, if I've got a magnetic field and I'm thinking, that means I'm emitting frequency. That frequency is being picked up by, you know, what I'm sitting on or laying on. And transmitted directly to the Creator, and all of a sudden you begin to say, "Oh man, I see how the universe works."
Well, you have to, you know, it's an impulse of energy. Every thought you have is an impulse of energy, and that's what people do not understand. Okay, but you also have to realize that within your mind you have the male energy and the female energy. Now, the way I explain that is, you know, your negative thoughts, if you're in negative thoughts, then that's what you're putting out in the universe. And because the pattern is in a circle, that is what will come back to you. So thinking positive is going to draw a positive energy back to you. I'm not saying that you won't have bad things that will come into your path, but you will be able to recognize it. And instead of going against the flow of the energy pattern, realize that that energy pattern is only there for a short period of time. And you do not have to create anything because it's already there. You have to just go with the flow of it, and it will come back to pass where you're supposed to be. And people are lost in that. The generations have been... just really held down and suppressed by many things. Long, long time ago, when kids went to school, they were taught about the stars. They were taught about numerology. They were taught all of this, but then it changed, and none of that is in today's education for our kids.
Well, you can be sure that... you know, ancient royalty. I mean, these people, you know, guys like Moses, you know, he was brought up in, as Egyptian royalty, and we probably couldn't even conceive of the stuff that a man like him learned.
Well, that is correct.
a lot of it probably lost, you know, because the great library at Alexandria was burned, and it had, hundreds of thousands of scrolls, and when that was burned, it was a great, great loss to the world. It was
the Creator has put people back on the earth, you know, to help bring that back around. That's part of the energy of that's going on right now. We're on my page, on the foundation page, you know, it says that I help bring awareness on how important it is to help heal Mother Earth and yourself. Well, the helping of healing Mother Earth is when we heal ourselves, Mother Earth will rejuvenate herself. because it's a continuous thing. It's a death and a rebirth, but she's going to do that, okay? And that's part of the frequencies of the patterns and stuff that she follows. But if we're not following it, what's going to happen to us?
Interesting. Mark Borcherding is a real expert on the Mayan calendar. I mean, this guy does things with numerology, and he just emailed me. He said that he just looked at John Pope Rolling Thunder, and he looks at this from the angle of course, I don't know what to your dad's birthday it was or anything. He'd have a field day with that, but he was probably looking at just the straight numerology, maybe the gematria. And he says he found that the number of his name connects him with the union of the white buffaloes called Miracle and Miracle's Second Chance.
And also, that is true.
And he's also seeing a connection of some kind with Lakota Wallace Black Elk.
That's
and he says the name is related to the color green that you're talking about tonight. And he says here are the words that connect to his name. I define a melody of rejoicing and measuring soul. I sing of joy and forgiveness with my dimensional tone of form in chorus with peace's energy of childlikeness, peace, and hope. And he says the energy of joy and peace are both related to the color green.
That is interesting.
It really is. And,
next time you talk to him, could you see if he could email me a copy of that? That would be interesting to have.
I'll email it to you, and he'll probably will. And by the way, folks, we will open this up to callers when Shahaman thinks of the right time. It's the right time. The guest call-in number is 347-996-3318. It's on the page that you're using to listen to this interview. And Shahaman, when you're ready to take a caller, just let me know. But
yeah, we could start doing that now if you wanted to, and in between calls we can
sure talk. Yeah, Mark, if you want to, go ahead and call in, or you can just email me comments or and anyone's right now I'm monitoring Nighthawk Web Works, just like it sounds, Nighthawkweborks at yahoo.com. If you want to send me an email with a question or a comment, and Mark, you're certainly welcome to call. And this guy, he's got an amazing mind. And different people's minds work differently. And this guy, he does stuff I would never even hope to think of. He's able to, he's very intuitive and. He actually knows things about the Mayan calendar and has insights into it that even some of the Mayan elders didn't know about, and they do pay attention to him. And he has done some. Well, it looks like he's here. Oh shoot! I'll let him speak for himself. How you doing, Mark? Is that you?
Yeah.
Yep. So. You're part of this conversation, so chime in whenever you want.
I missed the last few words. I was busy messing with something, so I didn't hear the last couple of sentences.
And well, I was just telling him how you're in communication with the elders, and they pay attention, and you send them things, and they carry them with them. And but you've got some tremendous insights. And Robert Three Eagles taught me how to do. Using my Mayan astrology birth date, your Mayan birth date occurs every, 280 days or 260 days?
260.
And he taught me that if you go out and do your vision quest during the center of, beginning at the center of night, which is halfway between sunset and sunrise, he said that's an optimal time for you to seek a vision. And he has a teacher who came out of Mexico, lives in Cedar City, Utah. It's a sculptor, chased out by the military. And this man wrote a book on Mayan astrology in Spanish. And a couple of years ago, I understand a guy was on coast to coast, and he didn't speak anything at all about this connection with exactly how to go and seek a vision using this method.
Well, do you got either one of you know Rolling Thunder's birth date?
Actually, I do not, but I could probably get it for you.
Yeah, I'll look around.
You were right. The message I sent you was based on just simple numerology on his name, which is still relevant, but I cross-indexed that numerology number of his name into another calendar system. And right when I'm looking at it on the computer screen, I can see it's a program that I put together, and I can see pairings. And that's where I saw, and I knew it because I remembered those two white buffaloes because I've done that. And that's where I saw his number for his name right next to the symbols that's for those white buffaloes, being their life being essentially united. And that was based off on their calendar verse.
Right. And,
well, Mark,
yeah.
I just have to share this with you. I don't usually share the meaning of my name. Okay. And I'll, for the listeners, I know they're wondering, well, why don't I know his birth date? When I was very young, I was taken away, so I never was, I never had the privilege of meeting my father. Mm-hmm. Before, when I found out he was my father, he had already crossed over. And, but when I was 2 years old, they did a naming ceremony on me before I was taken away, and I was told that that's how my name, Shahawin, was presented to me, and it meant Buffalo Woman, she who turns in all directions. So I thought I would just say that and let you know about that.
Interesting.
Because I thought it was interesting that you were talking about the buffaloes.
The only thing that's available on Wiki is that he was born in 1916. You know, it's entirely possible he didn't know and exactly when he was born. And I never heard him say, but it's probably something would have been nice to know about him. And if I was to guess, I would have guessed he might have been born in late November, December, because that's... The Hebrews call that the month of dreams, and people that are born during that period are wired a little bit differently. But I never heard him. Never heard him say.
Hmm. Well, you were mentioning the color green, and on my screen when I looked up the number of his name and indexed that into a timing system, that symbol is green, and it means joy, basically. That's the primary energy. And then right next to it's the two white buffaloes put together, and there's this piece, which is also a green. Yes, the green color. And I thought that was interesting because what you had said about that particular color, and it comes up in, if you remember, sent something about a book, and it mentions the color green relating to the energy fields and the torsion fields of the Russian science. And it was a, I believe, I forget his name, Dr. Kerm or something like that. I'm not sure if he was the one that did it. But they did a thing here on looking at pyramids. And they said that the in the picture here, they have out of the top of the pyramid, I mean, straight out the capstone is a arrow, and it says green.
That's interesting.
And they said that it's associated also with the green of the plants, the chlorophyll. And the chlorophyll has a specific number related to it that's interesting, but I won't go into that right now. But it also says this particular green color is related to the right-handed torsion field. Now, that's interesting because if you look at the Hopi Fire Clan stone tablet, there's a swastika on there, and it's rotating right. And that, I believe, is indicating the direction of our rotation when we go into the what the Hopi call the fifth world.
Yes, right. The fifth world of peace.
So it'd be, and so that would relate that swastika rotating in that direction with the green energy field, which would relate back to what Blue Otter just said about the when Creator started things, it was related to the color green. And that color green is also shows up, if you look in the Mayan Popol Vuh Book of Creation, at the point in time which they're moving between world cycles, and they're literally looking north, south, east, west, every other direction, to see where the sun's going to come back, because the sun is gone, like period of darkness.
Right.
And they're looking everywhere. But while they're doing that, they have particular prayers. They're in the Popol Vuh. And the only color, the path that they talk about is the green road or the green path. They don't mention the red. They don't mention the white. They don't mention the blue or the black or the yellow. It's only the green.
And I would you know, and that's pretty interesting. I had never heard what you were speaking about, so I would like to get with you after the show and learn some more from you. But I could see where the energy, because of what I know about the colors and the frequency energy pattern, green is the highest frequency pattern, and it brings healing and growth. And so I could see, you know, if the world is going to change and everything, everybody has to go to that vibration to be able to go to the change, go through the change.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, you look at the other things, and the other things, green is the heart chakra.
That is correct. But that is like for the your spiritual heart chakra, because your true heart, or for the physical body, your chakra is pink. And a lot of people don't know that, because it's different levels, different patterns.
And for those, I did want to make a comment for those that aren't familiar with physical science. If you were above the North Pole, you would see right now the Earth rotates counterclockwise, and that's the reason why, as the Earth rolls counterclockwise, it's rolling toward the sun. That's the reason why it appears to come up in the east and go down in the south. And but the Hopi say that when the when Purification Day comes again, that apparently there'll be a period of darkness, maybe several days. Culturally, the thing I found out when I compared prophecies with all over the world was a consciousness of 3 days of darkness. This has occurred in the past and will happen in the future. But anyway, you know, when the Earth starts rotating again, it'll be clockwise. And just a note for, you know, a lot of folks don't know these things. And but the swastika, one other thing. The swastika is associated with evil, but before the Nazis used it, the New Mexico National Guard wore the counterclockwise swastika on their uniform. So it was associated with spirituality in Native American lore, you know, going back thousands of years.
Yeah, that rotation is going to be in our energy fields, and those energy fields govern an awful lot of aspects. And so if they shift like that, then that is linked to us, and the planet and everything on it. So that, who knows? And it's very interesting that that shift in the rotation is directly related to the pyramid structure, the geometric form of the pyramid, and coming out the capstone of that pyramid. If you look down on that pyramid from above, that pyramid would essentially form a medicine wheel. And in the Mayan tradition, the center of the medicine wheel would be green. So now we have a link between the pyramid structure, the green energy frequency coming out of it, and the, literally the structure of the pyramid itself, their positioning on Earth, and the torsion fields and the rotation, all that stuff combining together and fitting into the basically the same story.
Correct, because it's all a pattern, and yeah. And the people are just now becoming, well, there's been a lot of people aware of patterns, but they're just now beginning to put all the patterns together. And what a lot of people don't know is the colors of the medicine wheel, there's four colors for the physical plane, four colors for the mental plane, and the spiritual plane, and so forth. But on the physical plane, the colors represent red, yellow, black, and white. Okay, and for different tribes, they're in different sections of the medicine wheel, but the meaning's the same for it because it's part of the healing of the sacred hoop. And when I'm talking about the healing of the sacred hoop, for the people that don't know that are listening to the show, that means the healing of Mother Earth and bringing Mother Earth back together to heal with the people that are living on Mother Earth. Okay? And all that has to take place, each one of those colors represents a tribe of man. Okay? The yellow is for the Chinese, China, and they were supposed to take care of everything that was in the air, to learn everything they could about the air and keep it healthy. Okay? And the black...
And ironically today, they're the biggest polluters of the air.
Right. So have they learned? Have they done what they're supposed to do?
Yeah, well, it's like the black people were supposed to. And we'll play this audio one night. This came out of a prophecy conference that happened a long time ago where they talked about the different races were assigned different things. But go ahead and tell them about the blacks.
Well, the black tribe, the people were supposed to take care of the water and learn everything about the water and all the animals in the water and keep the water pure so that we would have clean water, which, as you know, has not happened because that's one of the prophecies that's been filled that was said that we would be drinking water out of a bottle, which almost does now.
And Africa has the biggest problem of water pollution of any continent.
Okay, and the red tribe was to take care of Mother Earth and learn all about the plants and the trees and to keep Mother Earth sacred, which as everybody knows, that has not happened because they were took off, so they can't do their job. They become stagnant because of other people's beliefs. And then the white people were supposed to learn everything they could know about fire and how fire and everything would help the people. It was to help everybody. Everybody was to be connected and working together. But as we know, the atomic bomb was made out of that, and so they experienced that and realized, hey, we have control now. And so it's a lot of thought process, that pattern of thought. What you think is what you will create, because it goes all the way back to the universe. How do you think the universe was created? It come from thought. It had to be a thought first, and then it was created. And until people become aware of how your thoughts will cause stuff to happen and will create stuff, we're going to have a big problem. But the will was made for all parts of the tribe of men to come together and share what they have learned so that it would bring the healing of the sacred hoop, so that everybody would live together and work together to keep everything healthy, which would be the fifth world.
And by the way, whenever your dad agreed with something strongly, he would say, ho.
Ho?
Ho. Yep.
Well, maybe we should look up her birth.
Well, that's an idea. That's an idea.
If you want to do it, well, we can look it up right now.
You care to share that, Shaman?
Oh, that would be really interesting. I was born on May the 13th in
1961. May 13th in 1961. Okay, so I was born
at 11 p.m. at night.
Oh, okay. Good thing you told me that, because that changes a little bit.
While you're working on that, I'll see what I can find out about her her Torah portion.
For everybody that's listening on the show, I do have a Facebook page. You can find me there. After the show, if you realize that you have a question, you can always find me on Facebook. The New Self Love Foundation has a Facebook page, and so does Shahawin, underneath Shahawin. So you can find me there.
Okay, you're in the Mayan Zolk'in on the traditional day count. Your birth is associated with a day called Five Chuan or Five Bats. It's the 31st day of the entire 260 Zolk'in. It's in a day in a cycle, that cycle governs the energy of a 13-day period. And you were born on the fifth day of what they call the Manik cycle. The Manik cycle is considered a healing energy. The Chuan has a tendency to go in, to connect into a lot of Mayan things and things with the ancestors and stuff, healing energy. And then its color is black or blue, so it's more in the direction of the west or the underworld. The Manik glyph itself is a hand glyph. And so I know that will catch Blue Honor's attention.
Mine is too.
Back to the hand kabul, the lowered of the wind and the water.
You'll see petroglyphs of a human hand. What they do is they put their hand against a rock and they would probably use carbon to make a tattoo. It would kind of look like a tattoo, but that hand was all over the country. I don't know if it's in other continents, but you can find that on all over in petroglyphs.
That's really quite funny because in my meditation room, because I go in for silence in my meditation room, I have hands hanging up on the wall.
Wow.
Well,
that's quite funny.
You were born on Yom Yerushalayim, which is the Jerusalem Reunification Day.
That's interesting.
And in Hebrew way, and I'm going to look up your Torah portion, if not what portion, maybe a few paragraphs of the Old Testament that you're supposed to take a look at and figure out what it might mean to you.
Well, you will definitely have to email me all of this so I can look at it after this program.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there is. So that, hold on a second. Let me see something else here. I forgot something. Oh, crap, I popped it down. Okay.
Do we have any other callers that might have any questions?
Yeah, folks, if you want to call in, number's 347-996-3318. Just let it ring, and when it stops ringing, you start hearing the show in the background. It means you're in the screening room, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. So I'm looking up here. This takes a little bit more time, and but I'm looking up your Torah portion. There's actually a Torah portion and a half Tara, and I was born during the. My Torah portion corresponds with that part of the Old Testament that talks about the birth of Benjamin, and my my friend who lives near Jerusalem told me that my ancestors were probably Benjamites, because Benjamin, after their war with the other 11 tribes, you know, they went specifically to Scandinavia, Scotland, and places like that.
And see, that's what a lot of people don't understand too. Those tribes that left Egypt, they're still here. We're just spread out everywhere.
That's right. We were supposed to be. It was the only way that the prophecies could be fulfilled. So we got a little lag time here, if anybody. Yeah, and while we're doing this, why don't you tell folks about your new gig, Shahawan?
And yep. What I'm doing right now in the state of New Mexico?
Uh-huh.
Okay, in the state of New Mexico, I'm working with the state to with a drug and rehab programs, people on alcohol and drugs, and it has been quite an interesting journey, because I have seen where Circle Medicine, even if they only come to me two or three times for a lesson, it has changed their life so that they can, you know, be guided stronger to stay off of drugs and alcohol. And also, where I'm at, there is not a drug awareness program, and we have a lot of problems where we're at with kids getting on this spice. Now, I don't know if the listeners understand what spice is in K2, but our children that can go to these stores and buy it, because they're selling it and packaging it like incense. And some of the names are like bath salts and stuff like that, but it's really stuff that the kids are smoking. And it's causing them to have comas. It's shutting down their kidneys. And it's really bad. It's some really bad stuff. So that was brought to my attention that there wasn't a drug awareness program. So we're hoping in the next month or so that the foundation can start a drug awareness program for the kids and adults, so that they can be aware of what's out there that's harming the kids.
Well, that'd be outstanding.
Now, I was listening to the news, and I thought this was, I had never heard of such. But in Albuquerque, some homeless people had ended up in the hospital, and three of them had died because they were doing shots of mouthwash and hand sanitizer. Okay, and they were doing like Jell-O shots and stuff, and so it did a lot. You know, it killed three of them and put two of them in comas. So that was brought to my attention over the news, and I was like, wow. You know, the kids could get need the parents and the kids need to be aware of that too.
Well, while he's figuring that out, your Torah portion is Leviticus chapter 25. 1 through chapter 27:34, and so we're talking here. This is when the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel," and it says, "When you come into the land which I give you," talks about you need to keep the Sabbath, but talks about proclaiming liberty. And this is interesting. I've never met anybody that had this. It'd take quite a bit of time to read the whole thing, but it says how people should be charitable to others, and the way the cities were to be laid out. And this is quite interesting. This is really kind of about laying down the law.
Bringing balance back.
Exactly. It's how to set up civilization properly.
That is correct.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's kind of fitting in, because what I did was I found several connections back to Rolling Thunder with her. And,
go ahead.
Let me go through and just kind of try to describe what I'm seeing here. On, remember Rolling Thunders, we mentioned the joy connected on the numerology in her name.
Uh-huh.
Name. Well, that's showing up on her birth, the same symbol. This one I'm going to give, it's going to be a little bit more complicated reading, because I'm going to be doing a forward flow of time, a backward flow of time.
Oh, my gosh.
When the two
wow.
worlds unite on her.
Her Torah portion is called Behar, and it's all about 7-year cycles.
Patterns. It's about patterns.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is I'll go over what we consider the normal thing, the forward flow of time, right? From her birth going forward.
And while you're thinking about that, this is also about things that were close to Rolling Thunder's heart, which was the proper sale of lands and prohibitions against fraud and usury. We're talking about what you were literally encoded with before you came here.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite interesting. I look forward to reading all of that.
Well, I'll go over real quickly. I'll go
over ahead.
For the forward flow of time, it's a green glyph. And it's called, this is out of the New Zulkin. It's energy. It's called. Its name is 14 Harmony or 14 Hunep Ku. The number 14 relates to truth. So you could basically say this. You could basically say this means in a nutshell. It means truth and creator.
Yeah.
It talks about harmony, charity, truth. Soul, joy, forgiveness, things like that, going forward. And so it's in a cycle, which is an ox cycle, which is a energy of heart energy, too. So that's kind of the key words there
and
to describe it.
The very last verse of her Haftarah is, heal me. Heal me, Creator, and I shall be healed. Save me, I'll be saved.
So now we'll switch to the other side and look at the backward flow. So this reading, this is from the perspective of the next world cycle, looking backward.
Oh, wow.
And that day is a red color, it's a reed. And the reed, it's 6 reed, and that comes up in, the reed comes up in many prophecies in different ways, Hopi and different others. Its energy is showing things like balancing, awareness, prophecy, equality is a big thing. Dynamics and equality. Combined with instinct, life force, and sacred power. So this is probably something that, as I would expect from most people I've looked at, this tends to be things that have become more significant in the last, 5, 8, 10 years or whatever. But as we move closer to the next world cycle, these energies are things that become stronger and more at your disposal to use, and therefore might be things that have been shown up in your life as things that have been useful for you. So things that have to do with dynamics, equality, various things about prophecy, balancing, awareness, explorations, integration is another
one. Oh my gosh. The Hebrew word Bahar means on the mountain, as if, you know, going on the mountain for the vision. Yeah, okay.
And so I just happen to be on the mountain, right?
Yeah, you are.
So
go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's all right, because it fits in. So now what we do is we take the two and put them together, the two time flows. And by doing this, we essentially are creating the zero point between the world cycles. And
well, that's quite interesting.
This on yours is called Three Moon Star. It's also a green glyph. And it is about, I'll just read the words here. It says, a pulse, a melody of being and binding will. Sing of purpose and discipline with my electric tone of service. In chorus with yin yang's energies of power, balance, and correct actions.
Oh, my goodness.
That's for basically for you, that's the doorway or the bridge between worlds.
That's circle medicine.
And it connects back. It's in a 2N cycle, so it connects back to your other one that we were talking about previously.
Wow.
So it's
mostly
keywords are balance, service, and being, and will, as well as purpose, too. Purpose would be right in there as well. So.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. That was awesome.
Yeah, this is really interesting. This is kind of like a mini little vision quest. This is really interesting. Looking at this information, yeah, I'm looking in. There's some other references that I'm looking at here and trying to figure out how they relate to you. But keep going, Mark. Don't let me slow you down.
Well, the what was it? There was something else I was looking at, and I was looking at it. There's several cycles I can look at here, and one of the ones, her one on her forward time flow, the 14 Hinep Ku. That one follows, it's the next day after 13 Ahau, and 13 Ahau is the last day of the current Mayan Zulkan calendar. So that would tend to suggest that her work and her life is related or targeting the changeover of a Zulkan as it ends and begins another cycle. Or you could say on a bigger scale, end of one world cycle in the beginning of the next. And here we're literally seeing at that when one cycle ends, it's beginning on her birth and it's popping up with that color green again. So again, going back to what you were saying earlier, Blue Water, about at the beginning of a creation of something, something, that color green would be showing up, and we're seeing it here with her birth, connecting that. So,
what I tell you, I mean, this is Mark sends me stuff all the time, and it's like, wow, you know, he just I don't
that
know,
is amazing.
Her birth is also there's different cycles. One of them is a smaller cycle, and there's bigger cycles, and the one I'm looking at right now, where I'm looking at that, it's kind of a circle of colors, literally. And yours is, it's actually overlaid onto the Aztec sunstone. So it has an outer circle and it has some inner ones. And your, the position of your 14 Hunab Ku isn't exactly the same position, if you look on the Aztec sunstone, as the four Ix or the four Jaguar. It's positioned right on top of that. And that was the first son on that particular stone. That was the first son, and the next son, there's five sons that are on there. So that gets back to the first son, the beginning of that of this present cycle.
Yeah, see, Jaime Perez, who's a Mixteca medicine man that I interviewed a few years ago, he said that we are going to be returning to the seat of the jaguar. And if any of you, Mark, you remember that National Geographic special or something about that, what looked like a huge stone sculpture on an island way off the coast of South America, and it was Mayan-related, and it was jaguar.
Yeah, well, interesting enough, the jaguars come up a lot with Robert Three Eagles, too.
Yeah.
I sent him a bunch of stuff on it, and so, but the, if you looked at it, then some of the things, they actually have a picture, and there's two jaguar heads.
Wow.
And their heads are usually pointed in opposite directions. So they can be relating to the two time flows or the
yeah.
two portion fields, the right or the left-handed swastika, or our DNA also spirals both right and left as well.
And
so I just know that Robert, his spiritual gift, he has a very unique spiritual gift. He's seen things, of course I'm not going to relate him, but I'll just say he's got an unbelievable gift to really look into your soul and help you figure yourself out. So how long have you been doing this with the state of New Mexico, Shahawan?
Almost a year and a half.
Is that right?
Yes, and it was really fun. Funny how they found me. You know, because I have people that would come to the mountain and sit with me from all over the world, you know, and come for a week and sit with me and learn and have class with me. And somebody heard about what I was doing, and they come up and sit with me in a class. Of course, I didn't know who they were. They just called and wanted a class with me and found out that it was people that were representing the state of New Mexico.
Wow.
And so that's how it got started.
That's quite a bit like my friend James Flamin' Eagle Mooney. He's a guy that went to jail on the peyote charges and got the Supreme Court of Utah to reverse it and made history. But he was working, when I met him, he was working at the Gunnison Prison in drug rehab. And they called him Last Shot because he was the last chance that some of these guys had. And instead of having an 85% recidivism rate of people coming back into jail, his is 15%.
Right.
I've got a... I thought I had a clip on here ready to go. Maybe I didn't upload it, but he Salt Lake. There was a delegation from Border Prisons in Salt Lake that came down, and the first person that said the first thing in that meeting was, "We want to know what kind of witchcraft you've got going on down here." You know, and he just carried a sacred pipe and.
Well, you know, I believe that happens to a lot of Native American people and people that are spiritual because people are scared of that.
Yeah.
Especially if it's not of a church base, you know. It's like I was telling you the other day.
Well, I sent out an Easter message today to say I'm an alumnus of a singing group called Up With People, and Up With People got into places in you know, every continent on Earth, and I mean they've the Vatican, President Eisenhower, Nixon had them in command performances, and I traveled with them for a year. But Up With People was kind of a spinoff of an organization called Moral Rearmament, which was a worldwide organization of millions of people in the 30s and 40s. And somebody estimated at least 30% of the U.S. troops were members of MRA. And the Vatican called them a cult. And the only reason, and of course I didn't, when I was traveling with other people in 71, MRA really kind of wasn't spoken of because of this accusation. But I didn't find out until 2006 that their main premise that they recommended people do is just spend 15 minutes a day getting quiet and learning to get in touch with your Creator and actually listening to get answers to prayer. And that, boy, that was a big threat to the Vatican back in the 30s.
Well, I still, you know, I think that is a big threat to a lot of people still today, because circle medicine teaches the biggest downfall for people is expectations. When you have expectations, it causes judgment, and then because you have judged, that's where a lot of the problems come from.
Exactly. And the other night I played a song sung by Floyd Red Crow Westerman. He's better known as Ten Bears in Dances with Wolves. And most people didn't know he was a singer long before he was an actor. But let me go ahead and play this, and you'll see why. Of course, Jesus spent 40 days, you know, out on the mountain. And I think anybody that really becomes a holy man, this is the process they go to. Now, this song, the first couple of verses were written by Bob Dylan, but Floyd Red Crow wrote the last verse, and it's called Just Another Holy Man. I'll take all of us off mic for the next 4 minutes.
Author, Ken Tarrant.
I don't know about you, but I feel a profound, passionate sense that we need to use our human voices to represent some of these things that can't speak for themselves. I mean, responsibility is kind of a heavy word, but we have an opportunity. We have something we can really give the earth. Think of all that the earth has given us. We've got a real chance here to give back a gift to the earth and all her creatures by going with our hearts and by getting involved in whatever that issue-related area is for you. I just want to say, like, I really believe in the Rainbow Warriors. The true human. Rainbow Warriors, like, go for it. All of you, whatever it is, whatever your path is, whatever you're called toward, go for it.
There was a man named Mahatma Gandhi. Would not bow down, he would not fight. He knew that he was down and dirty. Nothing wrong could make it right away. But he knew his duty and the price he had to pay. Just another holy man dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. Another man from Atlanta, Georgia, name of Martin Luther King, shook the land like rolling thunder, made the bell of freedom ring that day. But his dream of beauty that they could not burn away. Just another holy man who dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. Another man called Christ Almighty. The only one called Jesus Christ. Healed the lame and fed the hungry. For his love that took his life away on the road to glory where the story never ends. Just another holy man dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. There is a place called South Dakota. It's the home of Sitting Bull.
Yeah, good night.
He was branded a Redskin savage when he tried to defend his land that day. But his dream of beauty that they could not burn away. Just another holy man dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. Sing the song of Mahatma Gandhi. Sing of Martin Luther King. Sing the song of Christ Almighty. Sing a song of Sitting Bull.
Floyd Westerman, ladies and gentlemen. Floyd Westerman. He's a powerful presence on this earth right now.
And we're back. And by the way, I want to remind listeners, please follow our show, S. Ruth. We want to reach out to you and thank you for following our show and or picking up new followers. And, you know, I don't want to give anybody the idea that Native people encourage followers. It's, you know, yeah, you're following the show, but you know, our attitude about people that want to walk the path along with us is that we don't want you to believe anything we're telling you. Nothing. Native spiritual leaders are adamant about this. Don't believe a word I say. I do not require you to believe anything that I say. I want you to go and prove it for yourself.
Ho.
That's the way your dad would teach.
And that is correct because the things that I teach come through me from the Creator. They're not of my will. They're of the Creator's will, and I'm just a vessel that He uses to get the message through.
Yeah. And some of the other folks out there listening to us tonight are serendipity. And you know, hey, if you want to call in, you know, go ahead. I think we've got I don't have all the stats in front of you, but we're glad you're out there. And if you want to call in, the number's 347-996-3318. We have a little less than 28 minutes left in the show, and so please call in. And so, what else have you been thinking about today, Shahawan? Getting ready for the interview.
Well, there was many things that I wanted to speak on, and of course, this is the first time I've ever been on a radio show. So I should have wrote it all down because my mind escaped.
That's okay. You know, one of the things about your dad, the very first thing he did when he sat down, he said, please don't interrupt me. He says, I love children. He says, but when you come, please don't bring your children. He said, I'm 80 years old. And he said, if you interrupt me, he says, I have a track that runs in my mind, and if you interrupt me, it might just be a year before I get back to the point I was trying to make. I'm the same way, and yeah, this show is mass chaos because we've got a lot of different energy coming in from a lot of different places. So, and I know it's a little scary, you know. People get the butterflies and everything, and they call it stage fright, and Nothing to be concerned about. You're among friends.
Well, I do know that. It's just You know, I've never really done it over the telephone, only with people that I've already know, and I know there are. I know you have listeners, so I was just, you know, I'm human, just like anybody else. That's all I can say. I'm human. I have the same feelings, the same emotions, and the biggest thing that I would like to get across to the listeners that it is very important for you to understand how your body works, how your thought process works. If you're out there and you're really trying to go on a good path, that's where you need to start at, is with yourself. Look at yourself. Start respecting yourself. Start not allowing people to disrespect you, because that's one of the biggest things that we do to ourselves. And we're hard on ourselves because we judge ourselves. You just have to learn to balance within yourself and become strong within yourself. Stand on that truth of what you believe in, because if you stand on the truth, all the lies, it's like a spider web. If you're standing on the truth, which is that one little fine line that goes through that spider web, all those lies are going to fall away. And you're still going to be standing there because you stood on the truth of things. And sometimes standing on the truth of things will cause you to have to go through some hurtful things too. This is not just a rose-colored path that you're upon. It's a very hard path to walk, because we have many obstacles of the world that we have to be aware of.
Ho. Oh. So you're thinking about writing a book?
Yes, I'm in the process of starting the book. It's called Do You Know Your Signpost? And the book's going to have everything about circle medicine in it, but we're going to touch a lot about the patterns and the frequencies and color frequencies, and hopefully it will help somebody when I get it done and get it published.
Did you know that you have a nephew by the name of Sidian Morningstar Jones?
No, I did not.
I just learned about this. He looks like he's probably Mala's son. I know Red Wolf, but I'm not sure which of your siblings is his. One thing about Rolling Thunder is he got around, if you know what I mean. And you may have, you know, other siblings out there you don't know about. But Sidian or Morningstar. Kind of interesting. He's written two new books about your dad. One of them's called Listen to Rolling Thunder, Incredible Tales About an Intertribal Medicine Man, that he wrote with Standy Krippner. It's published by Inner Traditions a couple of years ago. And this book, he had a new book called The Voice of Rolling Thunder, Medicine Man's Wisdom for Walking the Red Road, published by Bear and Company. So I'll see if I can contact him, see if we can get him on an interview.
Oh, that would be awesome.
He's got
and
a Facebook.
Please let me know so I can clear my calendar to make sure that I can listen to the show. Of course, I talked to you the other day about talking to Spotted Eagle.
No, what? How'd that go?
It was a wonderful conversation that we had. He was very busy, so we didn't get to talk very long on the phone. But, you know, he goes out of the country and does a lot of teaching.
A lot.
So I'm hoping sometime this summer I can go and spend a week at his place, which he would probably be a good person to bring on the show, too, because he does his teachings, too.
I interviewed him back in, I think, 2005, and his website is Nanish, NANISH.org, and he has a ceremonial center down in west central Oregon. I think it's about 30 miles west of Eugene, I think, or Roseburg, or somewhere down in there, and that's a gorgeous area down in there. And should do well after the earth changes, too, from what we're told. But yeah, he built that place. He just told me in the interview. He said, you know, we built that here. He says, because if you do work on a reservation, you know, you build a circle, and next thing you know, only a certain members or a certain tribe will be able to use it, and then after a while, only members of a certain family within that tribe will get to use it. And he just said, you know, they weren't going to mess with it. And of course, his mom's a Western Shoshone, and he is enrolled, but his mom was Spotted Fawn. And from what I remember, your dad met Spotted Fawn. I think she was one of the first things you see when you get off the interstate going to Carlin is the cafe. And from what I remember, she was working there, and that's where they met. And your dad bought. Now Carlin is a gold mining town. Doesn't look like much above ground, but there's a city underneath there. But he bought an old brothel. It had lots of bedrooms, and so he could have lots of guests, and there's quite a few people that live there. And his property, in that clip we played of him, he talked about, you know, the place that he lived at. It's like when you walk on his property, it's like a jungle. And you really can't figure it because he's right there in the middle of a desert. And people have brought vegetation and seeds from all over the world and planted there. And at first glance, you know, it kind of looks like a ramshackle place. There's a lot of old house trailers and storage buildings and stuff like that. And then he's got had a quarter section a few miles down the road. It's now a fire training center. Meditante is now a fire training center, but we would sit out in the house. Sometimes you'd have to wait for hours for them to get him ready, and they had a ramp. They'd bring him down the ramp in the wheelchair, and we'd sat underneath a parachute was made into a canopy, and it kept leaves off of you, and if there were birds sitting above you, keep the birds from leaving artifacts. But the place was a real natural wonderland, and I did once have a video of him. I think Bill Runningwolf puts it out where he explains the way he did his garden and some interesting things. Did you want to say something, Mark? I talked too much.
Well, there was one other thing I was looking at that might be helpful for her in her work. It looks to me like a lot of the work that she's going to be doing is going to help people go through the purification.
Well, I have had many dreams or very vivid dreams, and of course I've never talked to anybody about my dreams. But since I was 10 years old, I've had these dreams. And it's the same dream where I'm walking and there's people walking with me. And to start off, the dream started with about 50 people. But now there's thousands of people walking with me. And we're heading up to the mountain. So I don't know what that vision really means, other than, you know, that.
That's a prophetic dream. You know, there's different kind of dreams, and what I usually tell people is when you get a dream symbol, if you in a dream, it might just seem like a bunch of disjointed, nonsensical things, but if there's a symbol in there, or something that happens, or you see something twice in a dream, or if you have a dream symbol that pops up two nights in a row, and that's the reason why it's important to either keep a tape recorder by your bed or write it down. Creator's trying to tell you something, and these are directly, of course, the Torah mentions that the Torah was designed around man's psychology before the foundation of the world, and dreams are a way the Creator's trying to get through to you about, well, these are things that you need to take a look at in your personality and and make adjustments. It's been very helpful for me the last couple of years. But I use dreammoods.com. It's an excellent dream dictionary.
Well, but I'll have to check that out.
But yours is a – that's just for everyday dreams. You have a prophetic dream there. That's a different level. But just your everyday dreams that don't seem to mean a whole lot, those are just symbols. If you dream about a number, you need to look and see what that number means in numerology. And you might even find yourself graduating, you know, up through the number scale. And sometimes it'll say, well, you're having a setback. And if you dream of a number 13, you know, you're supposed to look up 4. And, you know, sometimes I'll dream of a couple numbers or a sequence of numbers. And I'll go in and look at the numerology of it, and I'll go, yeah, boy, yeah, that's true. That's going on in my life. And, yeah, I've been messing up that way. I really need to take that to heart. But, you know, 99.
Well, let me ask you this. What does three feathers mean in a dream if somebody has given you three feathers?
Oh, good question. Of course, going out and earning your feather, every Native person wants to earn his feather. Apparently, you've earned three. But according to dreammoods.com, now was the feather, was it floating in the air?
No, it was handed to me from another person in my dream.
Okay, well,
council.
Well, you've earned three feathers, and that's what that's all about. But the dream of a feather, it symbolizes warmth, and it means that you are expressing your tender side and a desire to be close to people. And here we go. Consider also your dream may relate to the proverb of birds of a feather flock together. So when you think of you've got this flock following you in this dream, and the flock's getting bigger, and
that's too funny. I had not put none of that together, but that is too. That's
well,
too funny.
Eagle feathers. Says eagle feathers.
Was there any other information in this dream about how this person gave you those feathers?
We were sitting in council, and we were talking about the teachings of balance, and it was presented to me like that.
Well, remember your birth that we did a reading on, had the number 3.
Yeah.
And it was, that position was that, on that part of the reading, it was the bridge between the world cycles, the two time flows. It was the zero point. And it specifically, if you remember, I read the words, one of the words was balance.
Oh, how funny.
And
okay.
So what I'm thinking that maybe, and see if this makes sense with what was happening in the dream, that your dream may have been at that zero point in the dream, and you may have been literally sort of in a way at that point between the worlds, and you may have been given the three feathers as a symbol of balance and your service to other people and helping.
Well, it's about the realization of your goals. Is there anything in your life that you've done now for the third time?
Let's see, three times?
Yeah,
many,
the
many
third,
things.
the third time's the charm.
Well, let's see. I had three children, and each of my children, believe it or not, this was very interesting. My first one was born on the 2nd. My second one was born on the 2nd. I went into labor with my third one on the 2nd, but they stopped the labor, so he didn't come until the 17th. But if he had came on the 2nd, all my kids would have been born on the 2nd.
Huh. Well, 3 signifies life, vitality, inner strength, completion, imagination, creativity, energy, self-exploration, and experience. So it sounds like circle medicine to me. Also stands
yeah.
for stands for a trilogy like past, present, future, father, mother, and child, body, mind, and soul.
That's interesting.
But you being given those eagle feathers, when did this dream start happening?
The one with the eagle feathers, the ones with the people I've been having since I was 10, but this was when I was given the feathers was just recently.
Huh. So is that after you started this work in drug rehab?
Yes, and I was actually gifted, really gifted a feather from a Navajo that I worked with just probably about a month before I had this dream.
Now, that picture of you at the Acoma Reservation with that
with
elder.
Medicine
man. Uh-huh. Who's he?
That is Thunder Sky. Let me tell you a little bit about that. That was last year for my birthday. My daughter came to the mountain and said, "We're taking you to the Grand Canyon." And so we went to the Grand Canyon. And he was standing at the Grand Canyon around a whole bunch of people and looking over the cliff, you know, at two of the mountains that, the way they're formed, it looks just like an eagle is flying in the middle of them. And he was standing there, and I wasn't going to talk to him or anything. I had saw him. I just went over there and was looking, and he came to me and said, "Aho, you're the one I'm supposed to talk to today." And I'm going, "Really?" And then he drew on a rock a picture of a medicine person with feathers, and he hands it to me and says, "You have found your roots. Now you don't have to look for your home anymore."
Interesting.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. And then he told me to go to one of the shops because there was some stuff in the shop for me. And undoubtedly he must have had a dream about me. But anyway, I went to the shop, and in the shop he had placed a bag with the girl in the shop, and he told me to go tell the girl I was there for the bag, and inside the bag was a whole bunch of herbal medicine.
Huh. Interesting.
So what I'll do is I'll take a picture of the stone that he wrote, that he drew on. I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
That sounds good. That sounds good. Well, we got about 7 minutes left. If you guys want to think about it, have you got any favorite music to take the show out with in a few minutes? I kind of asked you about what kind of a, if we were going to take the show out with a song, what kind of a song would it be?
Actually, I do have a song. Do you want me to play it, or are you going to play it?
Well, I was just wondering if it's something that I've got. I've got about 20 songs here that I could play. And,
do you have any Robert Marable?
No, I sure don't.
Oh, well, you definitely have to get some Robert Marable.
I've got some Robbie Robertson, and I've got Skinwalker and Stomp Dance, and I've got The Lights by Robbie Robertson, and How Long Have You Been Blind by Floyd Redcrow, and Red, White, and Black. Song about missionaries.
you need to get some Robert Marable, because he has two songs that are my favorite, called The Dance and Little Indian.
Okay, we'll do that. Have you ever heard the song Golden Feather by Robbie Robertson?
No, I don't believe I have.
That's a good song. Yeah, we'll next time you get on, we'll coordinate the bumper music a little bit. But, yeah, I've got some interesting things on here. I was kind of planning on doing a show about all the music that's written around the theme of natural disaster and man-made disaster. There's a lot of them. There's been at least 300 of them in Canada alone. And a lot of them talk about people being warned about them. And kind of interesting. Mark, you got any parting thoughts?
Nothing really.
Well, let me go ahead and kick off Golden Feather. We'll say goodnight to everybody. And if I kick it off in 2 seconds, I can hear the whole thing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Meet your man.